This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Unto it, he hears that response and he takes it back to the people who started, and then this destroys families, relationships, friendships, and so forth and so on. Now, that is if the person is doing that with the only objective to make fitna and fasad, problems between people. But if a person is trying to make islah and he's trying to bring people together, in that case, it's permissible to even lie. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa al-kadhab alladhi yuslihu bayn an-nas. He is not a liar, the one who tells a lie in order to make peace between people. So he goes to this person and he says, knowing that this brother has a problem with this brother over here, he goes and says, hey, listen, I was with him and we had lunch today. And he was speaking good about you. And he was saying he was sorry for what transpired between you and him. And he wants to apologize. He sent me to apologize to you. When that person hears that, he's going to calm down. And he's going to say, okay, I accept his apology. He goes to that other person. Listen, that guy told me that he's sorry for what happened. And he apologizes to you. And then he was allowed to lie in al-Islam to make islah. Where on the other hand, the one who carries tales, he is carrying the tale to do what? To destroy the relationship between people. It is one of the worst characteristics that a person can have. It is something that is from the major sins in al-Islam. It breaks society up, breaks marriages up, communities up, families up. It is a big problem. The person who does this has a sickness, and it's common. In this social media area we have, social media, you can be in two separate WhatsApp groups. In one group, the people appear as if they like you. You'll find them in the other group talking about you, the people from the same group, the other group that you're in. That's how it is. So the Muslim has to avoid being a person who hears what people says and then he carries it to the other people. And you have to remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Al-majalis bil-amana, al-majalis bil-amana." When you sit and you have sittings with people, your friends, what is said in that sitting should remain amongst the people who said it. If someone were to say something in that sitting about someone else, maybe what he said was haram. Maybe it was ghiba. Maybe. While you're listening to it, you should stop him from saying it. You shouldn't take those words out and then say, you know what he said about you in that meeting? Wallahi, I'm telling you the truth. Wallahi, he said it. He said that you're this and you're this and you're that. The natural response of that individual is that he's going to get angry and then he's going to allow something to come out of his mouth. And then that person takes that back to the one who started the problem off. So it's a terrible issue. And it's bad for a number of reasons. We're only going to mention three of them. Just three, and there are many. One reason is because in al-Islam, the brotherhood of al-Islam is crucial. It's important. It shouldn't be compromised. We shouldn't be of those people who understand that we should use Islam to compromise the brotherhood of al-Islam. By talking about people and warning about people, we actually think. And it's ghurur, as we mentioned so many times. Zayyana shaytan lahum su'u a'malihim. The person thinks he is actually getting close to Allah by warning against people and talking about people. And it's just qila wa qal. It's things that have not been established. It's iftiral, it's kadhib, it's mubalagha, it's hawa. You don't like him, he doesn't like you. So people are talking about each other, making tanfir, tabdi, takfir. This is not permissible. So if an individual were to carry tells between people, he's compromising the brotherhood of al-Islam, which is sacred. It's from the sha'air of al-Islam. ذَلِكْ وَمَنْ يُعَظَّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. And these days, we don't have this issue. It's something we have a lot of tahawun in it. So as it relates to the issue, Allah has mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are brothers. We are brothers one to another. Who in his right mind, is going to compromise his relationship with his biological brothers, his own family? He's going to do things that are going to cause them to hate each other and be enemies one to another. Who does that? Except an individual who has a sickness in his head or in his heart. Something's wrong with him. In Al-Islam, the ayat made Muslims brothers. So I have a religious responsibility to safeguard the brotherhood and not to compromise it. And in being brothers, we saw with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiallahu anhum, the high level and degree of brotherhood that they exemplified and they illustrated to the people. Allah described them in the Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ash-shiddaa'u 'alal kuffari ruhamaa'u bainahum. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those people who are with him, radiallahu anhum, they are strong against the disbelievers and they are merciful amongst themselves. Where is the rahmah? Where is the mercy? Where is the mercy? Where you will hear someone say something and then you take that to someone else and go back and forth in order to make fitna and fasad. Where's the rahmah in that? Allah described the believers in the Quran, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. The believers are those people who are gentle, merciful, easy towards the believers, and they have izz and strength, might, power against the non-Muslims at the proper time, at the proper place. So the first reason why carrying tells an-namima is from the major sins is because it compromises the akhuwa of al-Islam, that brotherhood that the Prophet brought, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he put a lot of focus and emphasis upon it when he came with this deen, when he came with this dawah. Second reason is the fact that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from being this individual who in Islam and Arabic he's called the dhul wajhain, the person who has two faces. He has two faces. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَجِدُونَ شَرَّ النَّاسَ الَّذِي يَأْتِي هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ وَإِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ. And another hadith, he said, ذَال وَجْهَيْنَ الَّذِي يَأْتِي هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ وَيَأْتِي إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ. He said that the worst person is the one who comes to these people and he shows one face to them. And then he leaves them and he goes to another people and he shows another face to them. He's with the Muslims. And when he's with the Muslims, he's praying and mashallah, he's using miswak and he's fasting Ramadan and he's doing all of those things, mashallah. But when he's with his non-Muslim friends and relatives and neighbors and the people we work with, he's cursing, he's swearing, he's drinking, he's not praying, he's acting like them. He's even ridiculing and making fun of Islam. Dhul wajhain, the one who has two faces, has many examples. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he used to warn his community about being of the people who had two faces. You have to be a man and you have one face. Unlike the munafiqeen, the hypocrite, he has two faces. He comes to the Muslim community, he's acting as if he has iman billah. When he leaves the Muslim community, he wishes evil for al-Islam and the Muslim community. Some people came to Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we started to get bad rulers ruling over the Muslims, and some of these bad rulers, they were ruling over the companions. The companions, may Allah be pleased with them, did not make khuruj against them. And some of the companions who didn't give the bay'ah to some of them and they fought against some of those bad leaders, that happened with a few of them, a minority from amongst them, may Allah be pleased with them. After they saw the evil effect of that, the companions, as a general body and they are the majority, and the people of the sunnah said, this is not the way of dealing with the ruler who's a bad person. We have to give him his rights and try to change the condition of the community without fighting against the ruler because it's going to be a problem. We had some companions though, there were some issues where they didn't get with the program with the ruler at that particular time. Radiallahu anhum. But the minhaj of the majority of the companions and what was accepted later on after them is don't fight against and don't revolt against the ruler. Some of the people came to Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and they said, you know, when we enter upon the sultan, the leader, we look at him and we say things to him that we don't really believe. And then when we leave him and we sit amongst ourselves, we start talking to each other about how we really feel about him and the situation. Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and his father said, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to consider that to be hypocrisy. That's nifaq. That you would stand in front of a person and talk as if everything is okay. And then when you leave that individual, you're talking bad behind his back, stabbing him behind his back. Be a man and say in front of him what you believe. And this is what the Prophet meant, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that the best jihad is for you to say the truth in the face of an oppressive ruler. Why? Because if you said the truth of what you believed about him and his situation, you run the risk of being persecuted, being put to death, being put in jail. The best jihad is not the ruler somewhere, wherever he happens to be, in the capital city or wherever he's happened to be, and you're in the UK and you're talking about the ruler, and you're in the privacy of your own home and you're talking about the ruler, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. But the best jihad, authentic hadith, afdal jihad, kalimatul haq fi wajh sultan jair, the best jihad, saying the truth in the face to the face of an oppressive ruler. So when Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, heard that this was the behavior of the people, he told them, this is a sign of hypocrisy, two faces. So, Ikhwani, before we go on to the third and the last example, inshallah, of why this issue is bad, don't be of the people who has two faces. Don't make mujamala to people. There's a person, you feel a particular way about him, but you don't show him. You actually have that man believing that you and him are okay. But in reality, when he's not around you, you're making ghibah about him. You're eating his flesh. There's a hadith that we have to mention before going to the third point, inshallah, azza wa jalla. And that is, the man came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knocked on the door. And when the people came and said, Ya Rasulullah, is so-and-so who's knocking on the door, should we let him in? Rasulullah says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what an evil man he is. This man is an evil person. We know him for spreading evil and mischief and fitna in al-Madinah. He's a bad person. Let him in my house? He says he's a bad person. They said, should we let him in? He said, let him in. When the man came in, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started speaking good to him. How you been? How's your family? How's your health? And so forth and so on. And treating him nice. And then the man left. When the companions saw that, especially our mother Aisha, they were students. May Allah be pleased with them. They didn't let things happen, go past them, and they just would be quiet about it. She said, Ya Rasulullah, when the man knocked on the door, you said what you said. And then when we allowed him in, you treated him in a different way. He gave her the reason for that. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily the worst people are those people who the community, the individuals, they are afraid of them and the evil that they may cause them. So there may be an individual. There may be an individual who you have to say some things in his face, because if you don't say things in his face that you really don't believe, he's going to do harm to you. He's going to do harm to you. He's going to harm you. In no shape, form, or fashion was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam scared of that man. In no shape, form, or fashion was the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam a person who had two faces. Hasha lillah. No way in the world. No way in the world. So never read that hadith and think, is this a case of dhul wajhain? Kalla wallahi. That's a case of the Prophet teaching people that there are people that you may come in contact with. You may not like them. They're from your relatives. So you have to go to the dinner. So you have to go to the walima. You have to go to the nikah. You have to accept them when they come to your house, because not to go and not to accept them is going to create a bigger problem. So for the young brothers, we want to make mention of this, because sometimes we approach things like it's black and white and there's no gray area. So he says, I have to deal with everybody the way I feel with them in their face, so I'm not going. No, Yahi, it's not like that. That's your uncle. That's your mother's brother, your father's brother. That's someone who has some position that would dictate and necessitate your presence is there. So by going there, you're not being a hypocrite by being sociable and taking it easy. The third reason, Ikhwani, why this issue is a really serious issue is because of what the Nabi mentioned about things like this. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ala ukhbirukum bi afdal min darajat as-siyam was-salat was-sadaqa? Qalu bala ya Rasulullah. Should I not tell you people what is more better, afdal, it's more superior and virtuous? We just pray Salat al-Maghrib, that's virtuous. We're going to pray Salat al-Isha, inshallah, virtuous. We're going to fast. Some people were fasting today on Thursday, fasted. He said, do you want to know what is more virtuous than praying, fasting, and giving sadaqah, fi sabilillah? They said, yes, we would like to know. He said, islah dhatul bayn, that you make peace between people, that you make it your business, that if you're in a position to make peace between two people who are being upset, you should go ahead and make that happen. It's from the best ibadat in al-Islam. And I think we all know people who have problems with other people. So if you're in a position where you could be the key that opens up the door of good, then that's what you do. He went on to mention, and this is the point, for inna ifsad that al-bayn hi al-haliqatu. La aqulu al-haliqatu allati tahliqu al-sha'r. وَلَكِنَ الْحَالِقَ الَّتِي تَحْلِقُ الدِّينَ. He said, if you want to know what's better than salat, sawm, and sadaqah, it is for you to make peace between people. He said, because breaking up relationships between people, it is the razor. He said, I don't say it's the razor that cuts your hair, shaves your hair off. It is the razor that will shave your deen and cut your deen. Meaning your deeds that you put forth will be rendered null and void and you will destroy them. So if sad that al-bain, wa fasad that al-bain, destroying people's relationship is a serious issue. An authentic hadith, he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard, laysa minna man khabba bimra'atin ala zawjiha. He is not from us the man who spoils his wife as it relates to her husband. Meaning, the wife has a friend, the wife has a sadiqa, a sister, her biological sister, her father, her mother. The wife has someone, and they're advising her, and they're saying to her, you shouldn't listen to him, you shouldn't be obedient, you should listen, you should leave the house. They're, instead of telling her, fear Allah, that man is your door to Jannah, we don't allow him to oppress you, but you have to do the right thing. So the person is advising her with the haq. Hold back your anger. Be patient. Go for arbitration. That's the advice you should give her. But there are those people who say to the wife when there are issues, the wife comes and starts talking about her husband for an example. She's complaining. My husband did this, he did that, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. This is what I have to deal with him, this, that. There's that sister, when she hears it, she says, ah, he's no good. You should steal his money. You should hide the money. You should do this. You should do that. You shouldn't obey him. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who makes the takhbib and he destroys a woman and the relationship between her and her husband, they're not from us. They're not from the people of al-Islam. Not that they're kuffar. Not that they're kuffar. It's a hadith of al-wa'id. For a zajr, it's just showing that it is a serious issue. Why? Because Islam came to put things together and not to break things apart like these relationships. So the issue of an-namima, carrying tales, those are just three of the many reasons why it's one of the worst one of the worst characteristics, and one of the major kabair. He mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulul jannata qattat. That's in Sahih Muslim. Another narration, la yadkhulul jannata nammam. The person who carries tails will not go into Jannah. Some of the scholars said, won't go into Jannah means what? They won't go into Jannah right away. Or it can mean the one who believes carrying tails is halal. He makes istihlal of it. Point is, it goes to show it's a major sin. When Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought that narration, the one who makes namima will not go into Jannah, he made the bab. Namima is from the major sins. It's from the akbar al-kabair. From the biggest of the major sins. It's from the worst characteristics. And quite a few people have it. Quite a few people have it. Taking people's kalam that you hear and sharing it with the people who they said that kalam about it. Terrible characteristic. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was walking with his companions in a graveyard, and he looked at two graves, and he said to the people sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna hadaini la yu'adhaban wa la yu'adhaban fi kabir. These two occupants of this grave, they are being punished. And they're not being punished for something that people think is big. People think it's small, but it's big. He said, "Amma hadha." As for the first one, kana la yastatir min al-bawl. The first one did not clean himself from urine. Akramakumullah. When he used to go to the toilet, he would go to the toilet standing up. So when the urine hits the urinal, it's splashing all over the place. It splashes into the water and the water comes on his clothes. It hits the urinal and it comes on his clothes. He misses and it hits the floor and it gets on his clothes. So when he takes his clothes off and he puts his clothes in the basket with the dirty clothes, he has urine. How can he make salat with najasa? How? How? So for our youngsters, cleanliness is from the deen. Got to take care of your hygiene. You have to keep your room clean. You have to take care of just exemplifying that high level of where al-Islam said about nadhafa, especially with women, even more so with women. So that's the first one. He used to not pay attention to cleaning himself. You have to make a stinja. You cannot go into the toilet in your university, in your high school, in your primary school, or wherever you go to school, and you just get on the toilet and go to the toilet like non-Muslims. You can't do that. You have to be careful how you sit, and if you stand, how you stand. You have to take precautions, and you have to use water and make istinja. If you don't have water, then you do istijmar with the tissue. The important thing, don't just go to the toilet and put your clothes on and that's it. He's being punished. And then the second one is the point. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innahu kana yamshi bayna an-nas bin namima. As for the second one, he used to walk between the people and exist with the people and used to carry tails. He used to make namima. So this hadith goes to show that it is a major sin. It is a major, major, major sin. The third hadith, and there are a number of them, he asked the question, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala ukhbirukum bi khiyarikum? Should I not tell you who's the best from amongst you? They said, yes, ya Rasulullah, bala, who? He said, alladhina idha ru'u dhukirallah. Those people from amongst you who, when people see them, they remember Allah. They remember Allah because of the guy, the lady appears to be righteous. They're soft-spoken, well-behaved, very respectful and respectable. They have that hay'ah of a person who's religious. They look that way. Allah knows the best as to people's reality. Never get tricked and fooled by people. But when we see people and they behave a certain way, they have what is known as a sumt, the way they come out and the way they appear, the way they deal with people. So if you see him, the sheikh, you think that this sheikh he has taqwa, and he has wara. And you think what you see in public is the same picture that he has in private. He said, they are the best ones from amongst you. And also the meaning of that is, when you see them, they remind you of Allah, meaning they're giving you da'wah to Allah. They're giving you da'wah. Don't do this, don't do that. Hey, why don't you do that? Hey, don't get angry. Hey, have sabr. They're reminding you of Allah. They're the best ones. The one when he gives the khutbah, you see him. When you see him, he's giving you da'wah to Allah. They are the best ones. And then he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should I not tell you who are the worst ones from amongst you? The people say, yes, ya Rasulullah, who are the worst ones from amongst us? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-masha'una bin namima, the people who exist and they carry tales amongst the people. They go back and forth carrying tales. So sign an indication, ikhwani, that al-namima is serious. And the namam, the one who does namima, is the namam. Yawmul Qiyamah, Allah won't look at the namam. Allah won't speak to the namam. And Allah Azza wa Jal won't purify the namam. So there is a book by Imam al-Dhahabi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. It's called Kitab al-Kaba'ir. He brought a number of ayat of the Quran, a number of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, telling us about the issue of al-namima and how it is a big sin. You go back, you check that out, inshallah. Want to share with you some of the ayat of the Quran that speak about al-namima. That some of the ulama, when they gave the tafsir of the Quran, they said this ayat is talking about al-namima. Had the scholar not mentioned that, if you and I just read the Quran and these ayats on our own, you won't get this is talking about namima. The Arab who's sitting in the audience, if he reads that ayat, he won't get that that's talking about the namima and the namam. But just to share with you, like the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah At-Tahrim, ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما فلم يغني عنهما شيئا من الله شيئا. Allah has given an example, a similar tool for the disbelievers. Allah has given them an issue to look at and to consider. The wife of Nuh and the wife of Lot. Nuh is a messenger. Lot is a messenger from the best of the people. During their time, they're the best of the people. Both of them were married to two irreligious women. And they were under these two righteous slaves. But they made khiyana. They were treacherous towards their husbands. And the fact that they were married to these two men, it didn't benefit them at all, Allah said. Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be said to them, enter into the hellfire with the people who are the dakhilin. Go to the hellfire. Some of the ulama of Islam said this ayat is talking about a namima. Because they're women. They were going to their people telling them, this is the situation with Noah. This is the situation with Lot. He has guests. He's going to do this. He said this. He said that. He's pondering over this and pondering over that. So the wife will come to the husband with one face, go to the community with another face. So that's namima. And it's from the worst type of namima as well. The namima where the person is doing that to their mate. We should have the back of our wives. Our wives are not perfect, and we as men, we're not perfect as well. And many times you'll find that the fitting and the drama of the man is more than the fitting and the drama of the woman. Although sometimes the fitting and the drama of the woman is more, like in the case of this ayat. Two prophets, salawatullahi wassalamu alayhima, their women are giving them drama. So what's the khiyana? Some people say khiyana, which means to be treacherous. It can mean also a woman who steps out on her husband and she has relationships with other men. That's khiyana. Like the sign of the munafiq is three. If that tumina khana. If you leave him with a trust, he'll betray the trust. He'll betray you. So one of the meanings of khiyana is a woman steps out on her husband with another man. That's khiyana. This is something that is mustahil, can't happen with the prophets and the messengers. It's not possible. Because Allah protects them divinely from such an issue. So that's not the meaning of the ayat. The meaning of the ayat is they made namima. They will go to their husband's enemies and inform them of the secrets of the husband, what he was pondering, what he was about to do, what he was saying, what he was thinking, and then come back to him as if everything was okay. So that's one of the ayahs of namima. Another ayat is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. The scholars said that this word is meaning namima. This ayat, woe unto every wretched person who is doing namima. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. That ayat is talking about namima. It's the second ayat. The third ayat, another one of the smallest surahs of the Quran, surah about Abu Lahab. He mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala wa imra'atuhu hammalatal hatab. The wife of Abu Lahab, his wife will carry the fuel of the hellfire, the hatab. The scholar said, this is a kinaya, that the meaning here is, she's carrying the hatab, the fuel, which is the wood. But the wood here is talking about namima. She used to carry namima in the society in Mecca. Go to this one and say, hey, they said this about you. Go back over there and said, they said that about you. And that was one of the fitnas that she was well known for. And as a result of that, she was mentioned in this Quran, in this ayat of the Quran, being described as the one who was carrying namima. She's carrying tales. And why is it called hatab? Why is the namima called hatab? Because it's going to be the thing that's going to burn her up. So Allah gave it that name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ayat is in Surah Al-Qalam. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مُهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. And do not listen to and do not pay attention to the person who is always swearing, wallahi, 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 but he is muheen. He is ignoble. He is a person who's very lowly. He's a person you know. He's not practicing. He's an evil person. But he's always swearing. Don't listen to him. Don't obey him. Don't pay attention to him. He is a person who Allah Azza wa Jalla described as Hamaz Masha bin Namim. He's a person who's walking around carrying tales between people, going to and going fro, making fitna and making fasad. In concluding, Ikhwani, concerning this issue that we don't want to be upon this, listen, listen. If there is someone that you don't like, and you don't like him, then don't smile in his face and don't skin and grin in his face as if everything is cool between you and him. And then when you leave his audience and you leave him, you talk about him, you stab him in his back and you eat his flesh. That's a sign that you are a coward. You're a chump. You're a coward. Avoid the person altogether if you can do that. And if you have to mix with them, if you have to mix with them, then just don't say what is not in your heart. And when you leave his presence, don't talk about it. The great scholar of Al-Islam, Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, Al-Imam Al-Ghazali. He has a book called Ihya Ulum al-Din. Al-Imam Al-Ghazali was a person of a tasawwuf, no doubt about it. He was a person who had an aqidah that was not the aqidah of the salaf of this ummah. Radiyallahu anhum ajma'in wa rahmatullahi alayhim. But nonetheless, he's a great scholar in Al-Islam from the Shafi'i madhab. He had a lot of knowledge in usul al-fiqh. And the book that he wrote, Ihya Ulum al-Din, overall is a good book. It has some really good buhuth in it, some really good subjects that he dealt with, and it's a beneficial book. But there are other books that the Muslim would use, the student of knowledge, before he used that book. Nonetheless, One of the beneficial things that he said in the book is when he talked about namima. He gave some advice to this ummah and he said, if someone comes to you like this, spreading tales to you about what someone else said about you, your brother-in-law, your co-worker, your ex-wife, people in the masjid, your mutual friends, he or she comes to you and starts to carry tales about what those people said to you. Now, when that person comes to you and they're saying, listen, let me tell you what so-and-so has said about you. And I'm telling the truth. Wallahi. And Imam al-Ghazali said, six things you should do. First of all, you should prohibit the person and give him advice and make the takbih of what he's doing. Hey, this is not acceptable for you to do this. You're a student of knowledge and you're doing that. This is what the fusaq do. The evil people do that. Don't come tell me what these people said about me. There's no religious reason and benefit for you to say that. Don't do that. So you should stop them. Hey, don't do that. Don't tell me what they said about me. Give them advice. Those ayat and those ahadith, Nuh, Lut, their women, Allah mentioned about them. Abu Lahab, his wife, Allah mentioned about that. The namam won't go into the Jannah. The man is in the hellfire being punished. The worst of our ummah, the people who make fasad between the people. You give them that dawah, that nasiha. Second of all, don't believe what they say. Don't believe it. It may be true, but don't believe it. Don't believe it. By believing it, you open up the door for fitna, drama. You make him successful in what he was trying to do and what she was trying to do. And that is destroy the relationship between you and that people. Listen, some people, as we told you, I believe last week, about a shuh that greed made the people of the past shed each other's blood and made istihlal of the maharam. So the one who is stingy, bakhil, he's stingy. He doesn't want to give from his own money. He doesn't want to give. But the shahih, he wants your money. He wants his money and he wants your money as well. He doesn't like that you have money. He wants all of what Allah gave you in your house, your car, everything. The namam is like that as well. The namam, he doesn't like someone. He doesn't like him. He doesn't want you to like him as well. It's not enough that he doesn't like him. Just leave it. You don't like him. That's between you, him, and your Lord. But that's not enough for him. He has to go the extra step. She has to do more efforts. Wants to make sure that you don't like that individual as well. So when that person comes to you and they start to say that, don't believe them. Don't believe them. Number three, don't go looking for and researching and trying to get to the bottom of it. If you can avoid that, don't do it. If it's something that can't be avoided, something that is touching your honor, something, then you're allowed to do that. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If someone who's evil comes to you with some news, then ascertain as to its validity so that you don't unknowingly harm someone else. You don't harm them. So if you have to, then no problem. You want to get to the bottom of it to sort something out. People are saying things about your honor and it can hurt you in this way or that way. Then you can get to the bottom of it. But if you can afford it, just let it go. Next thing that he mentioned, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is that you should have a good opinion about the one who they're mentioning that to you. He said this, he said that about you. Have husna dhan about the one who is ghaib. It's your brother in al-Islam. Have a good opinion and don't allow someone to come and change your opinion. How many is that? How many is that? How many? Number five, Ikhwani, he mentioned that you should hate that individual if he persists upon what he's doing, because it's something that Allah hates, to have bughd for that individual. You tell him, don't do that. It's not a nice thing. If he persists, he comes to you, goes back to them, comes to you, then this is something that will guarantee or warrant a person hating him. Fifth, or number six, the last one, he said, don't you go, after you heard that from him, don't you go and say, you know what so-and-so said about me? Do you know what so-and-so told me that so-and-so said about me? Don't do that. Because if you do that, now you'll be making namima. So he came to you and he said, hey, they said about you this and this and this and that. Leave it. Don't go and say, hey, you know what so-and-so said about me? What so-and-so, what those people told him about me? Now you're making namima. You're making namima. So just leave the issue altogether. In concluding, ikhwani, the issue of an-namima, kabira min al-kabair, it is a khuluq, a type of characteristic that is rejected in al-Islam in strong terms. Let us not be from amongst those people in any shape, form, or fashion. And Allah's rahman maghfirah, inshallah, and his afu is matluba. If you brothers have any questions, inshallah, you can put your questions forward. Tafaddal ya akhi Ismail. So the brother's asking if dealing with the issue of a namima, is namima specially for, is it only for something that's said in private between one or two people or a few people? So a few people are discussing something, two, three, four people, and then one of them, two of them, maybe three of them, they take that tale and carry it to the one who was said about, one person or two people or three people. Is it a small number? Nah, it doesn't have to be a small number. It doesn't necessarily have to be a small number. If someone mentions something in public, in a public assembly where everybody is listening to that issue, and he mentions something about someone who was not there, he wasn't there, and the person was there and he heard it, or he didn't have to be there, he heard it from a recording, he read it. He takes that information to the person who was said about with the goal and the objective of making fitna. That's his niyyah. He knows he didn't hear it. We have this with people. Listen, people will say something about what transpired. And you say something, for an example, about this sheikh or that sheikh or about something. A person will take that kalam to a sheikh and say, so-and-so said this about you. He'll misconstrue what was said. He'll lie. He'll add. He'll subtract. He won't give the context. When the sheikh hears what was said, the sheikh may speak out against that individual. This is something that people do and have been doing, calling it the religion and calling it the sunnah. So we saw that a lot. And that's why the scholar said that the mufti is the asir of the mustafti. The mufti is the captive of the one who's asking the question. Because the mufti is going to answer based upon what the question is. So if someone comes and say, a sheikh, so-and-so said that you're ignorant. So-and-so said that you don't know what you're talking about. The sheikh responds and says, who is he? And he says something like that. So a namima is not just two, one, three, four, five people. Namima is taking the kalam of someone or some people and taking that kalam to someone who didn't hear about it and it's about them. And the goal and the objective is to spread mischief, to spread drama. But if someone heard some kalam about someone and they were not there and he wanted to take that kalam to them to tell them, hey, listen, you need to sort this thing out because this is what's being said. And I'm coming to let you know just to sort it out. This is not namima. Because he doesn't want drama. He doesn't want fitna. Namima is the one who relays and carries the tale with the niyat of making fitna. And wallahi, that example that I gave you is a common example among some of our brothers of al-ghulu. Not only those brothers, but people. When you want to get your own, you want to get your enemy down. Someone you have a problem with, all you do is you take that kalam, you give it to someone, you don't give the context, you don't give what was really said, you add on, you subtract, and then the person who hears that, you get a response out of him. That's namima. Someone else put their hand up. تفضل يا أخي. The brother's asking about backbiting. If you speak about someone and you don't know, you're talking about someone in the gathering, you don't mention his name, is that considered to be backbiting? People don't know who you're talking about. If the people don't know who you're talking about, it's not backbiting. If the people don't know who you're talking about, it's not backbiting. It's not backbiting. But to that individual, he may know that you're talking about him. And in his haq, it could be considered to be backbiting, because the Prophet said backbiting was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dhikruka akhaq bima yakrah. Mentioning something about your brother that he dislikes. He dislikes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something about people, but it wasn't that they disliked it. The three men who made mistakes, and the Nabi got in front of the people and said, what do you think about the situation of a person who did this, and another one did that, and another one did that? He didn't mention some secret that they did was bad to make them dislike what he was mentioning. No, that one said he's going to pray all day. That one said he's going to fast all time. That one said he's not going to get married to women. They're trying to be religious. But if he came out and he mentioned something to people, and there's a person in the audience, and he knows for sure that he's talking about them, it could be, and it may not necessarily be backbiting, but you have to look at all of the details. You have to look at all of the details. But if the people don't know who you're referring to, have no idea, and you didn't want fitna from that, then this is the way you can teach people, to warn people about things that are going on. And Allah is a'la and a'lam. You brothers have any more questions? Tafaddal ya akhi. We'll answer that later on, inshallah. Between us. Now. The brother's asking about what are some of the books that can take the place of Ihya Ulumuddin that Al-Imam Al-Ghazali wrote, and some of what Al-Imam Al-Ghazali put in that book, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, is not acceptable. Things that are not consistent with the truth. And there are, as I mentioned, books that are ola, or better, preferable than that one. Like Riyad al-Salihin serves the same purpose. And it's a better book because it's a book of ayat and ahadith, and some of the explanations of that. So Riyad al-Salihin. Also, the book by the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah had a student by the name of Ibn Muflih. He has a book called Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. The Sharia, the etiquettes of the Sharia of Al-Islam. Similar to Ihya Ulumuddin. Very similar to it. So a person gets that book and it's more than enough, where he wouldn't necessarily have to use Ihya Ulumuddin. But that's not to say, as I mentioned earlier, that there's no good in that book. If you wanted to read about the fiqh of the Brotherhood of Al-Islam, then the book of Al-Imam Al-Ghazali is one of the best books for that issue. It's one of the best books to give you an understanding of what is the akhuwa of al-Islam, the arkan of the brotherhood of al-Islam, the shurut of the brotherhood of al-Islam, and all of those other issues that he mentioned in that book, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Any more questions? Tafaddal ya. Is it permissible to tell someone that someone else is saying things about them just to warn them? This is permissible. the less you say, the better it is. If you have a good relationship with that brother or that person, you say, listen, I'm telling you, you need to be careful about this situation. If your goal and the objective is not to make fitna, you remember that. But don't be of the people who have ghurur. Again, people who fool themselves. The person say, I'm not wanting to make fitna. No, you want to make fitna. That's why you're saying it. But if you have sincerity and you heard something that wasn't correct, and you want to warn a person of that thing that this person is saying, then that's permissible. As a matter of fact, that's their haq. But maybe what you want to do first is warn the person who said that to you. Hey, don't say that. Why are you saying that? Maybe you and him need to talk. And then you won't have to say that to even open up the door. So first you should try to talk to the individual. Why are you saying that? Fi Allah Azza wa Jal. So we know that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were traveling, and the munafiqun, who they thought were Muslims, they thought these were their brothers in Islam. They said, the Prophet was way up there, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these people said, we have never seen a group of people who eat more than Muhammad and his companions. And we have never seen a group of people who talk more and lie more than Muhammad and his companions. And we have never seen a group of people who, when it's time to meet the enemy to fight, they are so afraid and scared, and they have no courage. One of the companions was there, and he heard them say that. He said, hey, you people are munafiqeen, saying something like that. He addressed it to them. You people are hypocrites, talking about the Nabi like that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's wrong with you? He said, wallahi, I'm going to go tell the Prophet. He wasn't going to tell the Prophet to make fitna and fasad. He was going to tell the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the presence of the troublemakers in our ranks. These people are munafiqeen right here. So he went to tell. And then when those people saw what happened, they went. And they said, ya Rasulullah, we were just joking. We were just messing around. We were just, you know, trying to pass the time. We really didn't believe that. You know, just passing the time. He asked them the question, billahi wa ayati wa rasuli kuntum tastahzi'un? Laqad kafartum ba'di imanikum. La ta'tadhiru. Qad kafartum ba'di imanikum. Do you people joke around with Allah, his ayat and his messenger? Don't offer any excuses. You disbelievers. So the point here, they heard what happened and they went and they told him. But they wasn't doing that in order to make fitna. They were doing that to warn, hey, this is a danger. And Allah knows best. We're going to stop here, inshallah, make preparation for Salat al-Isha, the adhan of Salat al-Isha. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum.